We're going to be in the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, and I'll give you a chance to turn there. And we're going to be getting into some areas which I would call the trials of life. I think we all go through them. It seems like the longer that we live, the more opportunities we are given to go through some times of trials and testings, storms, if you would. Some of them can be fairly major storms, as a matter of fact, for some of us. I've gone through some storms of life. I know some dear friends and family who have gone through some storms that have been pretty major storms, I would consider. And the Bible speaks much on some of this stuff here that would be a help and I think an encouragement. Perhaps you may be going through a testing right now, some type of a trial. Someone had said a long time ago that you're either just coming out of a trial, or you're in the middle of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into one. So that's that cycle. So hopefully there's a big space in between all of those, amen. But we're going to be talking about riding out the storms of life. And we're going to be reading out of Psalm 107. So let me read here, beginning with verse 21. We're going to read verses 21 to 31. So if you'd follow along, if you have a Bible there with you, Psalm 107, beginning with verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down into the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, the sailors. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works among the children of men. This is a psalm that teaches about God's providential deliverances. In fact, there are four pictures here in our text, if we were to take the time, which depict the nation of Israel's deliverance from their captivity, their hard times. In verses, if we were to take the time, in verses 4 through 9, we see that it's a picture of travelers in distress being ultimately guided to the city. Then in verses 10 through 16, we have prisoners that are in a dungeon, but ultimately being released. We have in verses 17 to 20, we have sick men, but they're restored to health. And in our setting here in verses 21 to 31, we have sailors riding out a raging storm. It's from this fourth picture here that I want us to see three truths that will enable us to remain calm. That's not always easy. To remain calm during the storms of life. Now, there may be a storm of life that comes to your mind right now, something that you've gone through. Maybe it's even been quite some time. Thank the Lord. Amen. But maybe we didn't remain as calm as we could have. Maybe we did. But there are some truths as we look at these areas. I want you to understand that each one of these four pictures, from the travelers in distress to the prisoners in the dungeon to the sick men, everything came out okay in the end. And we're going to see that here are these sailors riding out this raging storm, and we're going to see that all ends well. So we're going to talk about riding out the storms of life, and for us to remain calm during these storms. The three truths that we want to consider is, number one, is that storms are to be expected. I know that's not what you wanted to hear. But storms are to be expected. In our text in verse 23, 24, and 25, notice what it says concerning these sailors. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now, I want you to notice something here. When in ships out to sea, and I've never been on a big ship out to sea. I guess we did. We went on a cruise one time, but we didn't encounter any storms. But when this is the regular job that these men have, that they go out into the deep waters, when the ships are out at sea, they will see, according to what the Bible declares here, they will see the works of God. They will see the works of God because he is the one, the Bible tells us, that commands and raises the stormy winds. That's part of his great work. These stormy winds and these stormy seas are a part of his great works. Now, here's the point. Storms are a part of God's work. They are designed by God to build us up, not to bring us down. As a matter of fact, again, notice what he says here in this text here. For he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind. He commands and raises the stormy wind up, which lifteth up the waves thereof. It says that they mount up to the heavens. They rise up. Now, I've watched some of those shows on, you know, The Greatest Catch when they're out fishing. I've watched videos of ships out in the middle of storms that's being recorded. And you see these waves mount way up, just like God says. They mount up to the heavens, and then they go down into the depths again. And it causes the sailors, the storm is so great, it causes their hearts to melt. That literally means that they begin to faint within themselves. Now, all of us, as I made mention, writing out the storms of life, that they are to be expected, all of us will face storms because all of us need what storms provide. Now, I didn't always know that I would say that, but after going through some storms, though I would not like to go through them again, they provided things that I actually needed. So all of us will face storms, and the longer you live, the more sure you'll come to a storm, or you'll have more than one in your life, and probably that second part. But all of us will face storms because all of us need what storms provide. Several years ago, if you don't mind the personal reference, I went through a storm in my life. I am so glad that I had two men who counseled me during the time of storms, both from different perspectives. Both of them were very beneficial, very helpful. But as I was talking with one of my counselors during this time, I told him that I was ready to just walk away from the situation. I felt that I don't need this situation in my life. I want to just leave and turn my back and go. And he had given me some wise counsel. He made mention, Brother Kevin, God may let you do that, but he's allowing this storm in your life as a test. There's some purpose that he's permitting this storm. If we see, he's the one that commands and raises them up. So there must be a purpose here. So there's a test that God's taking you through. And if you decide that you want to avoid the test or run from the test, he might let you. For 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe 3 years. But down the road, he says, you'll have to take the test again. He goes, you need to stay, ride out the storm, if you will. He goes, you're at the place right now where the waves are mounting up. And he goes, and they're crashing down on you. And they just keep pounding you and pounding you and pounding you. goes, but the waves also finally, as they rise up, there comes that one that raises up to the heavens and comes crashing down upon you, is the highest peak that it will reach. And the one that will come after it will be a mighty waste, but it doesn't peak as much as that one. And each one will get less and less and less. The Bible tells me in Psalm 119 and in verse 71, listen to what David says. He says, "It is good for me." Now, if I was to fill in the blank, I would say, "It is good for me to have my own personal package of double stuffed Oreos with a big cold glass of milk. That would be good for me." But that's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, Oreos, let alone double stuffed Oreos, are not even mentioned in the Bible, I'm sad to say. But David said in Psalm 119:71, he said, "It is good for me," now listen, "that I have been afflicted." It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I, and he tells us why, "that I might learn thy statutes." The word statutes here speaks of God's divine appointments. You see, when God permits me to go through a storm, or as David calls it, a time of affliction, it's good for us. There is a time of teaching and instruction that God has for each one of us in those set times. And remember, these times are divine appointments. God is the one who commanded to raise these storms up. And just as there are physical storms in our world, if depending on where you live, there are snowstorms. We just saw our dear friends up in New Hampshire, in Benton, where we pastored last in the New England area. They just sent and posted some pictures, that they woke up in the morning to 3 inches of snow. That's quite early for them. It looked like it was nice, pretty, fluffy snow, but still that's quite early. But there are snowstorms. We have been a part of those. There are ice storms. We've been a part of those. There are thunderstorms. We've been a part of those. There are sandstorms. I've never been a part of a sandstorm. But there are physical storms. I was remembering as I was working on this message, there was a time when we first were married and we had our children. We had, I don't even think Annalise was born yet. It was just Ian and Daniel and Micah. And Micah was just a baby. We went to visit Althea's family up in Vermont. And they lived in Starksboro, Vermont. And as we were staying with them and her aunt and uncle up there and her folks, we were visiting around the area. And we were up in the mountains there in Vermont, the Green Mountains there. And we'd come to a place, we went on this trip to what they called Deer Leap, and the view was outstanding. You overlooked a little town called Bristol, Vermont, and Deer Leap had the history that the Indians back in the day would chase the deer. They would have like a deer roundup, and instead of just shooting them one by one, they would round them up and chase them to the place where they'd jump over the cliff. They'd run to this place. It looked like it just went on, but actually would be a cliff that they would actually go over. It's called Deer Leap now. And then they would go down and take and use the deer for their meat and their carcasses and stuff. And we went up there, and it's a pretty rugged little climb. And it was Althea and I and her folks and her uncle and some of those. And we took our two olds. We left Micah with the ladies that were back at the house. And a lot of granite rock everywhere, big granite boulders and just a rocky area, beautiful mountains and greenery. And as we're up there, we're having a great time. And out of nowhere, there came a thunderstorm that came. It was fairly violent, I would say. It seemed more violent than it is because it's as that thunder would crack and punch and roll, it would echo through the mountains. And so it made it even more. Plus the lightning hitting. And it broke down and just the rain was just a heavy downpour. Just caught everybody off guard. Now understand, this is back in the day when you don't have all this advanced stuff on the phone. We didn't even have cell phones, so you didn't have all this advanced stuff about radar and weather. And we were caught in this stuff, and so we're all running, trying to find a place for shelter. And in that process, we come across a huge granite boulder that was a huge round one where we were all able to actually, it over came up out of the ground. We could actually go underneath the edge of it and be protected from the downfall and from the thunder and everything. And we're all kind of in a line facing one way, hunched under this boulder, staying out of the storm. And I've got, you know, my father-in-law's in front of me, and we have one of my young sons in front of me, and then I'm behind him, so he's sandwiched between the two of us, and then our other son was behind us, and Althea, and so on. We are all under this rock, and as it continues to crack, the thunder and lightning's going, it scared one of the boys, the one that was between me and his grandpa, and he begins to weep and cry. Folks, there was nothing wrong with what he was doing. These sailors here were at wit's end. They thought it was over. They were fearful to where it says that their hearts melted within them. And these were expert sailors. They had been to sea time after time after time, been through many storms, but this one had brought great fear upon them. And as this storm is raging up in the mountains, my son begins weeping and crying, and all of a sudden, my father-in-law turns around and pivots where he's at, and he turns to him and calls him by name. And he says to him, "I know that there's a storm happening, but look at your daddy. Look at your daddy." And he was crying, and he looked back up at me, and then he looked back at his grandpa, and his grandpa says, "Is your daddy crying?" And he goes, "No, he's not." He goes, "If your daddy's not crying, then you don't need to cry. Everything's going to be all right. If your daddy starts crying, then you can cry." And I started dwelling on that. I never forgot him sharing that with my son. You know, when we go through storms, and they can be very trying, they can be very severe, they can be very hard on us, we need to look to our daddy, our Heavenly Father. And if he is not crying, there's no need for us to cry. If he starts crying, we know that we're in trouble. But there are all types of storms, and the psalmist said in Psalm 119, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." God, you have some divine appointments for me. And they're a time of learning. They're a time of growing. They're a time of becoming what you want me to become. It's like the clay that's put on the potter's wheel. The potter applies pressure from without, but he also reaches his hand and applies pressure from within and molds it and makes it to be what he wants it to be. And sometimes God the Father has to apply the pressure inwardly as well as on the outside to form us to what he wants us to be, vessels for his use. Now, there can be a variety of storms that happen, from the physical to the spiritual and the emotional. I mean, there can be relational storms and financial storms. Physical situations with health can arise. Emotional storms, marital storms. But they all are things that God wants us to understand, that we can make it through by his grace and with his help. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 in verse 19, he says, "Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So you say, "Well, I've gone through a storm or two." Well, you know what? There may be many more that will come. There's much more learning that we need that he may have to instruct us through, and he will use the commanding of the raising up of the storms in this life. I am so glad that Psalm 34:19 that I just quoted didn't end with that. "Many are the storms of the righteous." I'm glad that there's a semicolon there because it continues. But, "the Lord delivereth him out of them all." God guarantees that if he's allowed us to go into a storm, he will bring deliverance for us from that storm. From what we saw earlier from Israel, whether it is the areas of travelers in distress or prisoners in a dungeon or sick men in health, or sailors in a raging storm. God brought deliverance in every story that he shared in that area. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you or to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Sometimes we think, why is this always happening to me? Why doesn't it happen to other people? It does. It does. And I'm sure if we were to have everybody put a sad face on an emoji on there, we would see just how many people have gone through these trials. Everybody. It happens to everybody. It's not some strange thing that's happening just to me. He goes on, he says that we are to rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Christ suffered for us. Christ suffered for me. And thus he wants me to take time to learn some divine appointments. And if it means suffering for him, he says I should rejoice in that. That God has seen fit to use me in that level. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed. It's coming. There's a coming today that his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Man, folks, when this life is over, for the Christian, we're going to be living that life of exceeding joy. No more sickness, sorrow, or death. Understand that when we talk about these truths of riding out the storms of life, truth number one, storms are to be expected. Truth number two, storms are to be endured. They're to be endured. In verse number 26 of our text here, he says, They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. If you are going to survive and then thrive during the storms of life, you must remember two very important principles. I realize as I see myself, I'm going like this, but it's actually like this, all right? There are two principles that are of utmost importance. You ought to write these principles down if you're going to go through a storm and not just survive it, but thrive after that. Learn the principles that God has. Number one, you need to recognize, principle number one, your dependence upon God. Your dependence upon God. The Bible says that their soul melted. They were fainting because the trouble was so severe. They are reeling to and fro. They can't even stand up. And they are at, the Bible says, their wits' end. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at your wits' end? So, when you are at your wits' end, what do you do? The same thing that these sailors did. What did they do at their wits' end? The Bible says in verse 28, they cried unto the Lord. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They're still in the midst of this. In their trouble, during the hardest part, the mightiest waves that are crashing, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And what does God do? Well, what do they do? They cry unto the Lord. That's their dependence upon him. What does he do? Look what it says at the end of verse 28. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He brings them out. Isaiah 43 tells us in verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters. And I want you to notice that word, when. He didn't say if, or he didn't say perhaps. He says, when? There's coming these times, these divine appointments. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I, God, will be with thee, Kevin. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When, there's that word again, When thou walkest through the fire, thou, Kevin, shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you or upon thee, Kevin. Now watch verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God. I am Kevin's God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. God says, when these things happen, I will be with you. I will deliver you. They will not overtake you. I am with you, and I will bring your Savior, your deliverer, your salvation. And if God is with me in these times, in these storms, just like I was with my son, as he could look back and see that I was not overwhelmed and weeping because of our storm, then he shouldn't either. Now, that doesn't mean that these are not hard times. They're difficult times. They're very difficult times. But I want you to understand that God brings us out of every one of them. He's our Savior. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My face feels like it's itching all the time. Only because I'm on camera, I guess. So we see here that storms are to be, number one, expected. That's truth number one. We see truth number two is that storms are to be endured. And that brings us to our third and final point about storms. Storms always end. They always end. Look at verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad. That's the sailors. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. While I have been in some storms, and I've been with family and friends in their storms, I don't live in a storm, because storms always end. Storms always end. Notice the words here in our text. Look at the two words in verse 29. Calm, still. Now notice again, it tells us that he commands the waves to mount up. He, in verse 24:5, for he commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind. Verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm. He's in control of it all. He permits it. He ordains it for our good. It's good for me to be afflicted. But he always makes sure that it comes to an end. He brings about this area that the storm is a calm. The waves thereof, look at the second word, is still. So we have the words calm and still in verse 29. Look at verse number 30. He says here, then are they, look at that word, glad. There's gladness when it's done. Then are they glad because they be, look at that next word, quiet. We have calm, still, glad, and quiet. And I love the ending thought here. It's found in verse 30. Look at the very last part. So he bringeth them. Notice he's still leading us. So he bringeth them. He brings Kevin unto their desired haven. We have a song that's called Haven of Rest. Are you currently in a storm? God says it's to be expected. There's a purpose that God has raised it up. It's a time of learning, a time of instruction. But he says, I'll never let you go through it yourself. I'm there. I raised it up. I will make it cease as well. The Bible tells us in Psalm 30 and verse 5 that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But joy comes in the morning. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in the New Testament. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, it's when it kind of triggered in me, and I've loved it ever since. But it's found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. He's been arrested for preaching the gospel, and he's appealed to Caesar. And in his appeal, he's on a ship being sent to Rome to go stand before Caesar Augustus to present the gospel God ordained. And the story shares about a storm that Paul went through. As a matter of fact, it was a storm that they didn't need to go through. Paul warned them that they shouldn't go at this point in time. The shipmaster says, no, I think we will go. And the Roman centurion that was over all the prisoners that were on the ship, Paul being one of them for only preaching the truth of God's word with all of these other criminals, says, well, I'm going to believe the shipmaster over the preacher. So they set sail and they thought that things were going to go well. But in Acts chapter 27, there's an interesting story. I would encourage you to read it later by yourself so you can get the full picture. But in chapter 27, let me just give you a few verses of what it says. In verse number 9, it says, Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous. So we see the setting for them to set out to sea into the deep. It was already known that it was going to be a dangerous time because the fast was now ready to pass. Paul was admonishing them. So he says it's going to be a dangerous time. Sailing is now dangerous. Verse 10, he says unto them, Paul talks to them about them setting sail. Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the lading of the ships, but also of our lives. So this storm that we're going to try to set sail, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And sometimes we are actually brought into storms by other people's choices. So we see the sailing is dangerous. The voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Verse 14, he says, but not long after there arose against them a tempestuous wind. They set sail. They think things are going well. He says there's a tempest arises. It's called Euroclydon. Euroclydon. I always like that. It's just something about that name. Euroclydon. And the word Euroclydon means a violent agitation. Some of the storms that you have gone through have been Euroclydon storms. They have brought much damage, much hurt. They have been violent, agitating storms. And Paul is describing a real storm that was a storm in his life that took place. He goes on to tell us in verse 17, which when they had, let me get my Bible here, pages are sticking. He says, when they had taken up the ship, they used helps and undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and strike sail, so they were driven. So the storm is getting so bad, this Euroclydon storm is so agitated that they're concerned that it's going to start breaking up the ship, that the ship is going to be broken to pieces. So they began to use what they called here helps. They use helps and undergirding. Now what they would do is they'd take cabling or ropes, and they would have somebody tie it to one side. They would go under the ship, under the water, bring it up, tie it together, and they would cinch them together to hold the boards in place to keep them from beginning to loosen up. So they were using helps, and they were using undergirding this just to keep this ship together. Now, what's interesting in this area here is the word for helps here in the New Testament Greek is the Greek word boiathia. Boiathia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Greek to me, Greek to you, you understand. That's the Greek word for helps here. And it means to aid. They're aiding the ship by bringing this cabling around the ship, tightening it up, and helping to hold it together. It means specifically here a rope or a chain for frapping a vessel. The other place that this word helps is used. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is being used in a time of Euroclydon, a very agitating storm, a violent agitation is taking place. It's a major storm. And when a major storm comes into your life, they say they're starting to fall apart. Well, yeah, families fall apart during storms. People fall apart emotionally during storms. And they need some undergirding. They need some frapping. They need something to come along and hold them together to aid them. And another place that this word helps is used is in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it tells us as a Christian, as believers, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We're invited to come into the presence of God. Let us come, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word help is the same Greek word, and that means that you can come into this place where there's we can obtain this throne of grace, unmerited favor, this place of mercy where we can find grace. And it says help, where God will come along and aid us. He'll undergird us. The Bible says underneath are the everlasting arms. Excuse me. And so we see that during these storms, these violent storms in our life, we have a place where God says that he can undergird us, just like he's doing with Paul, what the sailors did here, to keep things together. So they use these helps. Verse 18, he says that they are exceedingly tossed with this tempest. Verse 20, he says that they did not see the sun or the stars in many days. And they realize that this is no small tempest. And then he says in verse 20 that all help that they should be saved was taken away. Was taken away. Now, this story concludes. And it concludes by saying this in verse 44. And so it came to pass. I like those words. It came to pass. When bad things are happening, it's always good to have that phrase, and it came to pass. And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They all escaped safe to land. One final thought. What should be our response? What should be our response to the storms that are permitted by God in our lives? And that would be if you went back to our original text in Psalm 107. Verse 31 says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his marvelous works among the children of men. You know, when you go back to that text in Psalm 107, you will see something that's very interesting. He says in verse number 31, as we just read there, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's a good way to end a storm, amen, to praise the Lord. But when we began reading in verse 21, it began with, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Our time with God, before, during, or after the storm, should always be one that we are praising him for. Will you praise the Lord for his goodness to you? Let's pray. Our Father, we come unto thee in Jesus' name, praying that, Lord, you know the needs of your people. You know the hours in which they are. Perhaps they are going through a time of sweet fellowship with thee, and yet there's a storm arising on the horizon that you know about. It's on your radar. You are raising it up. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to know about that. But Lord, if you see that there's a need in us, there's some area that we need to learn something, may we learn it quickly, and may you give us the grace to embrace, dear Father, the purpose. And Father, if there's a way that we can just rejoice in thee and praise thee in spite of what may be happening right now, may we glorify thee that you will not only raise up storms, but you'll bring about that calmness, you'll bring about that quietness, and that ultimately we'll say that this too has come to pass. Help us to be glad. Help bring us, dear Father, as it says, to our desired haven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I remember, as I'm thinking back on dozens and dozens of funerals I've had to do, and I think of those that are saying goodbye to a loved one, dear friends, we kind of picture that as a ship setting sail. And they began to launch out, and we watch them begin to go away from us as we stand on the shoreline. That could be a storm to many, many people, a loss of a loved one. And as we watch that ship of theirs depart and it goes farther and farther and farther into the distance, and we begin to see that it's getting toward the place where the horizon and the ocean meet. Kind of like as a child when we used to let go of helium balloons. We'd let them go and we'd watch our balloon rise up into the sky, excited. And it would rise up and up and up, and it got to the point sometimes where you were afraid to take your eyes off of it, because you did it. If you did, you know you'd lose sight of it. But eventually we would realize that we lose sight of that. And as that person, we lose sight of as they depart from us. Out of our sight. Someone standing next to us says, they're gone. They're gone. But understand that at the moment that we declare that they are gone, they're out of our sight, there is someone on the other side that's looking out, and they're looking at the sky, the horizon where it meets the water, and all of a sudden they see their ship and they say, they're coming. They're coming. We're seeing them depart. But the others on the other side of glory say, there they are. They're coming. And as it says here in our text, in verse number 30, then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And then we see verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Our God is good. We don't always understand everything. It's like the weaving. You look at the under parts of a weaving, and it's all tangled up. Makes no sense. Strings here or there, different colors, just a mess. And then God takes and he flips the weaving around and shows us the glorious picture. We're seeing things from the bottom side, folks. God's seen it from the heavenly side. And there's no better person who loves you, who you can trust in the times of storm, than the God who raised it up and permitted it, and the one who will bring it to an end. Trust him. Praise him. And enter into that haven, that sweet haven of rest. God bless you.